Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. I would say you can follow me on Twitter, but I'm still not there. I think now it's probably time to just get a new account. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can always listen on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand. Use the rewind feature. We are also streaming, though, on iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. You can also find us on both the iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio apps. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. How was your weekend, sir?
Oh, man. We finally had a horrific gambling weekend.
Oh.
It happens to the best of us. Yeah,
it does.
You got to spend money to make money. But other than that, I guess I had a better weekend than the Grizzlies did. So we'll,
you could say that.
We'll get into that. Let's welcome our Monday company, of course, is the MC of Fun and Games here in Memphis, or the Maestro, as we sorted out last week. That is Jeff's official title. He's the host of Right on the Right Trivia. We'll be giving away tickets to Stavos. We got Stavi tickets coming up on Thursday. CerritoEntertainment.com is his website. The Everything app for him is at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings, Jeffrey, everybody. Yeah, great to be here. A lot going on. It's a great time to be a sports fan. A great time to be in Memphis. Excited to be here today to go over it with you because the Tigers are still in the playoffs. If the season ended today,
I think
the Grizzlies, maybe not so much.
But I think the only complaint about right now being a sports fan is you just don't know how to consume it all. Like, you know, if you're...
Right.
If you're a Tennessee fan and on Saturday night, you've got a massive, massive game with Oklahoma going, and then you've also got the World Series of Game 7. Like, I don't expect any Tennessee fan or Oklahoma fan to have had a real grasp of what was going on in the World Series because that was a massive game for both teams.
And that football game ended before the end of the World Series.
Right.
So how do you transition emotionally from that game, which was a playoff eliminator there, Oklahoma and Tennessee, on Saturday night? And if you're a sports fan and your team's playing and they just lose, right, and the season isn't over, right, you're going to go to a bowl game or something. But, like, you then try to get into what was one of the best finishes of a World Series ever, so that we got to witness this past week.
Well, and
so
then
shout,
like,
out to baseball.
Like, emotionally, do you, you know, if you're, like, most people, it seemed like we're rooting against the Dodgers.
Right.
Do you want to just... If you're a Tennessee fan, you just had your guts ripped out. Like, are you really in the emotional spot to then just go watch it again? Like, like, I assumed everybody was rooting against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So, a lot going on there. We'll get into, obviously, what happened on Halloween night. And we're not just specifically mentioning what the Tigers did at Rice, which was handle their business. So, we'll get into Friday night, the aftermath of that, of course, with Ja Morant. Ja Morant was suspended for one game for conduct detrimental to the team. They've been very, very vague. We obviously had the post-game comments from Ja about ask the coaching staff. But more importantly, I wanted to get into some comments from Blake Griffin. Blake is a part of the Prime Video studio show. So, of course, this game was on Prime, and he was asked about the play of Ja Morant before we kind of saw the escalation of everything that went down. So we'll take a listen to that. We'll overreact to the weekend as well. We'll get into a little bit of TV timeout. We'll see if we have much of an update on YouTube TV versus ESPN. We had Greg Sankey get involved and not exactly have the world's greatest PR moment. We also will get into Kevin's bracketology as he takes a look at how the Tigers are faring. I mean, it's pretty simple at this point for the Tigers. It is, especially with Boise taking another loss, and I think JMU's a little bit too far back. But I mean, it's very simple. If they continue to win, they are in.
Without a doubt, yeah.
And so
it's a matter of who are they going to play,
correct,
when they do get that opportunity, or if they're lucky enough to finish the season.
Correct. So we'll get into potential matchups, everything that we are looking forward. Of course, tomorrow night we'll also have the first reveal of the college football rankings, the college football playoff rankings. We'll get into the list during hour number two. We had another firing at a major college job. It's now four consecutive weeks that a major college firing has happened. I believe five of the last six have included a P2 firing, if you will.
It's one we thought was coming.
Yep. I think it was one that I think on Saturday night they left no doubt. And I actually think it was for someone who oftentimes the case can be made for or against, I think this was actually one of the easiest firings that we've seen. Like, it was pretty straightforward on field. This isn't going to cut it and you're done here. So we'll talk about that and more. CJ Hurt's going to join us during the second hour, get his thoughts on the Grizzlies. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I think let's go back to Friday night. So I'm obviously calling Briarcrest's absolute dismantling of my beloved Owls, and thankfully there was a running clock during the second half. And so I'm following along with the Grizzlies game. I kind of had it on a side screen, just checking in and out. And so during the first quarter, This is Halloween night. So, of course, it's the late start, 8:30. First quarter is kind of up and down. But honestly, I thought the second quarter that the Grizzlies played, where they kind of took control of the game, it felt like one of the best quarters that they've played all year. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, cool, I'm going to get home. I'm going to be able to settle down, watch the second half, and enjoy this, you know, after calling another game. Well, what quickly develops, I think, in the second half was two things. Number one, Luka Doncic, pretty good at basketball. That seems to be...
Right, which going into this, and earlier in the week, we didn't think he was playing, right?
They flew him in, and that's
a pretty big sign that he was probably going to play. But that's some of the fun pregame drama, by the way, that I love of the NBA. They're not, you know, so-and-so's not playing, but they flew him in, he's going to practice. I love all of that behind the scenes. It's like wrestling dirt sheet stuff. But
yeah. No question.
It's like, they're in the building.
Dave
Are they
going
to play?
we're firing up Meltzer tweets, trying to figure out what's indeed happening. But the second thing that developed, I thought, during that game was beyond the effort from Ja Morant, I feel like at this point I have closely...
The lack thereof.
Correct. What was obvious to me was when he doesn't score and doesn't have a good game in what would be considered a spotlight moment. And, you know, I know we can maybe quibble about what does it mean to be on Prime, but it is still, by definition, it is a national spotlight game. It's a Friday night. The Lakers are in town. The cup floor is out.
The cup floor is as part of the cup. Yeah, you can't forget that.
Correct. And he does not score in the second half. And it was probably one of those times that I actually would have tweeted, but I didn't because I don't have access to my account.
What would you have tweeted? This should be a new segment on the show.
What would I have tweeted? All hands on deck. Because I think when he has those types of performances in those moments, it always gets cranked up. And whatever the response is going to be is something to watch. And so we then get the post game where Ja refers to ask the coaches. But because Ja spoke at the same moment that Tuomas Isalo spoke, like, the reporters that were there didn't know what Ja was saying because Ja's speaking in the locker room, Isalo's speaking in the press conference room, which are separated. And so we don't really know. Well, we wake up on Saturday and we learn that indeed Ja Morant has been suspended a game for conduct detrimental to the team. Are there anything else that we want to get into contextually that we should add? Because I don't think we really know what was said either at we know that there was some type of issue between Ja and the coaching staff in the locker room. I don't know if it happened at half. I don't know if it happened post game. I also don't know if perhaps players got on to Ja at half or Ja got into it with players and then all of a sudden Isalo's stepping in. We don't know.
Right. We don't know. We know what he said after the game, which we could probably agree on is probably not a suspendable comment by the team.
Yeah, I think
the team would suspend
I think it
after
is,
that.
I think what is clearly fair to
that
say.
That looked like a frustration moment post-game. That didn't seem like you would suspend somebody.
No. So
something else going on.
Yes, and perhaps the suspension was literally related to the lack of effort in the second half. And it's entirely possible that was the case.
There had to be something said in regards to that lack of effort. I mean, it's something. Like, you watch the game, and once it's like really like shout out to the Amazon Prime like crew to point this out. And Blake Griffin is we're gonna play that audio or not? But like if you watch it and if you have not watched it, the Ja effort of Friday night is. I mean, you need to watch it because it's something. When you go back and you revisit and you just watch it as closely and knowing what's going on. It definitely will put it in a certain perspective for you.
Yeah, Blake or George, do we have Blake Griffin queued up?
We do.
Okay, let's take a listen to what Blake had to say. So, I thought everything that was said there was fair. I did not feel like anything there was inflammatory. I do also acknowledge like some context matters, but I have a tough time believing that Ja got sick at halftime.
Well, he didn't. I mean, as far as we know, there nobody saying he was sick, right?
Correct.
And at the time, Blake didn't know. Chris Harrington didn't know, right? There's like people at the game trying to figure out what's wrong with Ja. There was definitely a moment watching that game that something's wrong with Ja. And then when you go back and rewatch it and knowing what we know, which is not everything yet. We don't know everything. But yeah, I got to give credit where it's due. I mean, Blake Griffin, we're not big fans of him in this town, but that was some great way to be critical and analyze the situation.
I think career Blake Griffin has been a lot more likable.
He's been great. Yeah. This has been great. I'm looking forward to watching more of his insight. I'm going to take it real seriously because you know it's hard to sometimes you watch these analysts on TV and you don't feel like they know anything about your team or what's going on. Like, and he was aware enough of knowing the importance of Ja. And the lack of – yeah, he knows what's going on. He was on point that this was the story of the game. So
I got the sense from Blake Griffin he just wants to talk about basketball. Like, I you know what I mean? Like, he's –
well, that seems to be a lot of the Amazon
– right, but, like, he's made plenty of money. Right. It's not like, you know, I'm sure, like, every rich guy, if they're going to pay you a lot of money, you'll continue to do it. But I don't get the sense, like, he is in this for – building some Blake Griffin brand, like it seems to me like he just wants to talk about basketball. And so I think this is kind of where I net out. And my overreaction to all of this is just Ja Morant needs to be more stable. And I want to also like give some balance to, okay, what happened? Because I do think that this is also possible. We are dealing with an inexperienced NBA coach. He has been a head coach in Europe, and he's won a lot.
That is more than possible. That is accurate, yes.
But he has not had a ton of time with an NBA locker room.
Correct.
And in my experience, having lived overseas for a year, also having some friends from other countries, I do think that there's a forwardness and a directness and a bluntness that can get lost culturally. And I can see where Tuomas Iisalo may be so, like, you know what I mean? Like, there is a bluntness that could be involved.
He's supposed to be Ja's guy in a way, though, right?
I mean, to a certain...
the butting of heads of...
I think this is fair. It was very obvious to me at the end of last season, Zach Kleiman made it known, the Grizzlies are in the Ja Morant business. And
as they should be.
When you're making a coaching decision, I find it hard to believe that... I'm not saying he was involved in all of the decisions, but I would imagine they got at least approval. Does anyone have a problem with that?
No,
I think that's fine. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I also think...
But that doesn't mean it's the right decision.
No, I'm not saying that it is.
Like, I think he could approve somebody else who might be a better decision.
I think... I also think that it was predetermined. The Grizzlies decided that's who they wanted to be their coach. They didn't really interview anyone else. Like, right. They decided that's what... And so
and
it's
I'm obviously been vocally against that idea.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not defending.
The overreactions, I mean, the overreactions you get, like, let's be honest, the true overreactions that you're hearing everywhere, we heard them this morning on the Jeff Calkins show, when you were putting those callers on the line, Jeffrey, is that you go from the national media, which is the Grizzlies should trade Ja Morant, and that's an overreaction, and then the overreaction of, like, okay, did the Grizzlies make the wrong hire for the coach, or are they not going to get along? What's going on? The Grizzlies it's a disaster. It could be a hiccup. I mean, these things happen in the NBA where there's a coaching disagreement and then everybody gets along later. But the big overreaction is there's a problem with the coach or there's a problem with Ja. Those are their overreactions coming out of this.
Well, I mean, to me, like, this is the other question. What if what happened at halftime, and again, I'm not reporting, I am asking questions. What if certain guys on the team got on to Ja and then now you find new coach that's sitting there going like, well, I have to do something about this.
For sure. I mean, that we don't, yeah, that's, and it seems like it's an internal matter and it's going to, we may never.
Well, I think that this is
a story.
I think another overreaction that I have from the entire incident is that the Grizzlies, if you just use this one example, and again, I'm not saying that this is fair, but I'm looking at it wide picture, having the context of covering Ja's whole career. There's a little bit of, well, we're going to start parenting now. Like, we didn't give you a bedtime. We didn't give you... And now all of a sudden, you've got all these rules because they let things get to a certain point, and now they're trying to overcorrect it. Well, you can't just do that overnight.
But, I mean, was this year 7 of Ja Morant? Like,
correct.
He is a veteran now in the NBA. And I think that is not an overreaction. I think it's the most common sense reaction to this is that the Grizzlies messed up early and did not surround Ja with the examples that he needed to see as far as how to be successful in the NBA. Because Ja's very talented. I think he's smart. I think he's obviously the most talented. He's most talented player the Grizzlies have ever had, right? So, but there is something, and I don't know what it is because I'm not one of the people. I couldn't be the person in the room, right? But, like, to have that veteran on your team or the veteran in the coaching spot that can be the example that Ja can see and follow. Because he doesn't need to necessarily take direction and be told bedtimes and stuff.
Sure.
But, like, to be successful in the NBA, it's often to see the example in front of you from somebody who has done it before of this is how they do it and this is what works and this is how you win in the NBA. And it might be too late for that. I mean, we've got KCP on the team now. Can he do that eventually and help guide Ja in some way? And it's not that. I don't think Ja needs – nobody needs to tell Ja what to do. But I did think it does help. The best way to learn something is by example. And I think it's true in the NBA. Like, if you have the right example in front of you of just the way to respond when you're upset with the coaching staff, those type of things, Ja just doesn't have
– Yeah, I mean –
he hasn't had that – we can't go back in time
and change it.
So that's the big problem. You got to, how do you deal with it today? And it might've been a different coach. I don't know. There needs to be somebody on this team with some experience on getting it. And we go back to we have one guy now from the Desmond Blaine trade, that's on the team that I guess could fit that role. But
I think there's a couple other things to your point there. Also, what if the decision is, okay, we've let these issues build up. It's early enough in the season. We're going to establish a track record and we're going to start this early so that it doesn't eventually snowball and become a bigger issue. Okay? That's entirely fine.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it looks like tonight. I think that's a huge part of it. I also think, though, there is... Ja is obviously going to be an emotional basketball player. Like, and I'm not asking him to change, like, the core of what he is. But what I would say is, do you think that you gave effort? Like, what was the point of all that? You to me, if I looked at the difference of how he played in the first half versus how he played in the second half, there clearly was something different. And so the reason why I say,
without doubt, yeah,
we need you to be more stable. This is your team, man. It's all, the decks have been cleared. It's clearly all your team.
Well, I mean, is that part of his frustration? Because, I mean, it's,
well, I think
the
this
rotations.
This is kind of the other thing that George and I were talking about. Coming into the season, I actually, when I looked at the roster and what they had done, I was like, I think I like this team better than what they left with last year. The problem was, with the injuries that they had before camp started, I was like, well, it's going to be tough sledding because they're going to be missing not only their starting center, but their off-the-bench center and the guy that oftentimes they close with in Brandon Clark. Okay? A big part of what they were going to do was get back to basketball with Ja, and where is Ja at his best? Let Edie start things with a screen and then let them work that game. Well, we knew that he wasn't going to be here at least for a month, if not more, and George has an update from Grizzlies PR. So Zach and Gigi are both going to the Hustle tonight. Zach, obviously, this is to ramp up. Gigi,
get some work in. It's just for I think it's just for practice this afternoon, and then they're getting recalled right after practice.
Correct.
But they're being assigned to the Hustle, which is always a sign that means that things are getting close.
But then you add into camp, Ty Jerome is going to miss. We have, unfortunately, with Ty, it's a calf injury, which can always be pre-Achilles, which sucks. Scotty breaks his foot, right, with surgery.
Yeah, it was a toe issue.
Yeah, so, and he has to have surgery. And Vince has been hobbled and back and forth. But really what we're talking about is essentially four of the Grizzlies' top eight players are not available. And when you looked at how the season was going to start, there was always going to be the possibility of, well, a lot of the guys that you're trying to backfill with are guys that do not have experience. They're probably not all that good. I mean, they're starting a center that was not on the team 2 months ago. And he's been fine, but there's also the possibility of, if they were at full strength in the front court, the guy that's starting at center may not even be in the rotation. So, like, that's where we are. And I do, from Ja's perspective, I could also see where you could be frustrated with rotation and lineup choices. But I can also acknowledge, I think part of the strategy with it is we have a lot of these guys that we don't trust. So we're trying to stagger and have as few minutes as possible without Ja or Jaren on the floor. Now, that creates a scenario where, A, you're not playing these long stints, but B, you have a lot of minutes where your two best players are not on the floor at the same time. And I do want to acknowledge, I'm sure that can be frustrating. I think it's also entirely fair to say the answer to that is not just stand around on the basketball floor in the entire second half.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Well, I mean, I think tonight's going to be an important part of what we, like, it's easy to overreact to what we saw. It's bad. Like, it blows up the entire narrative, the whole talk and the optimism that we had of, you know, Ja's going to China. This is a different year. This is his coach. All of that very quickly early on in the season. It's kind of been blown up to a degree, or it could just be an internal family struggle, but is it a power struggle? If that's what it looks like, if it's Ja's team, you keep saying it's Ja's team. Did he want Isolo to be the coach because he felt like with him as the coach, it would be his team and what he would have more of a say in what was going on. And when he didn't, that causes the problem. Again, we're trying to solve the mystery that we don't have the answers to. And tonight, if Ja is going to be made available to the media, and if he's not, that's going to raise even more suspicion. But I guess we could go, just for the record, like, trading Ja makes no sense, right? It makes no sense.
I
don't want that to happen. That's like the next worst thing to the Grizzlies moving to me is Ja getting traded, because this is what it's all about if you have an NBA team, is if you get a chance to have a star of the magnitude of Ja Morant, who has his own shoe. Not his own shoe, but probably the most popular shoe in the NBA.
I guess the way I would say it is, everyone has their Grizzlies group chat, if you will, and there's always inevitably someone in the chat that I don't actually think is a bad actor. I don't think they're a pot stirrer. I don't think they're a troll, and will hold the position of, I think we should trade Ja.
I think that's the easy conclusion to jump to, right? Like, it is, fire the coach is always an easy conclusion to jump to with any team, with any problems. And if a player's having a problem, it's like, trade them. You're not going to get anything for Ja Morant.
My biggest problem is with the concept. Like, okay, the people that will make the argument will be, it's not about personality. It's not about other issues. It is simply about, he is an undersized guard that doesn't shoot particularly well, and you are going to have a ceiling based on that. To which, I'm not saying that any of that is irrational or like that's just hating. What I have always said back in response to those guys is, if you make the decision to trade him, the overwhelming odds are you are not going to get anything back that is going to be remotely as good as you are. The best case scenario for everyone involved, this is one of the few issues I feel like in sports today where fans, owners, team, coaching staff, everyone's issues all actually align. And that is, what is best for everyone is for Ja Morant to be the best player on the Grizzlies.
Oh, 100%. And you can't just, like, I think the intangibles we cannot ignore on what Ja brings to the team. You know, at this moment, as far as off the court excitement and belief in the team, because even if you're terrible with Ja Morant, you still have something. Whether it's the days of LeBron being by himself in Cleveland, and not that they were ever really terrible, but there's a thing, or Allen Iverson at the 76ers, like, you can have a guy where it's a great play. Like, your team is relevant no matter what when you get Ja. Once Ja is gone, the relevancy from the casual fan to the nationals and international stage, it disappears until you find somebody else like Ja, or the success like the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is, as we know, even harder to come by. So
I almost was
just don't trade Ja. And I think the conversation,
and I don't even think,
is dumb. It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
I guess this is the other thing.
Like,
if
this doesn't work out, you find another coach that might work out with him, you know?
Well, I was thinking about this during the second half. Are we ignoring the Luka part of this? Where, like, in the end, Ja, one of the clear frustrations, and he'll never publicly say it, but, like, having observed him for this long, the falling in the NBA pecking order, whether or not it's just wrong, the reality is, the perception is, he's fallen in the pecking order. I wondered, with, it wasn't just he was having a so-so first half. Like, he was not bad, but he certainly wasn't having a great first half. I did wonder the fact that, like, Luka comes back, and the whole time you're just like, all right, this guy's got a claim to one of the five best players in the world, if not, you know, the best player in the world. I think that's probably an exaggeration, as long as Jokic is still on the floor, and I'm also leaving room for, we might just be in the Wimby era, and, like, that could flash. But I did wonder if, knowing how one guy in the feature spot was playing unbelievably and you're not having a great game, like, I wondered if, like, that sent him into a tailspin.
And just went over and bled over to the whole team. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because I do think the one criticism that I think Ja has never really taken to heart, I do not think he recognizes, or he certainly has not made a conscious effort to address it, because it's been an issue for a long time. His attitude sets the tone for everything. Like, if you look at this fan base, for the most part, I'm not saying everybody was, like, clearing room on their trophy case to, like, where are we putting the title? But considering how shorthanded they were, and how the season started, I think everybody was kind of surprisingly upbeat. Like, yeah.
Without question, going into the weekend.
Correct.
It was, there's something here. There's something here. Not a title, but they could make a run in the playoffs. I was feeling it. I think everybody was.
And then Friday night happens, and I'm saying, look at the whole Grizzlies universe of it all. It's like Friday night happens, and then everything just becomes like five alarm fire. And so what I have also struggled with, and it, sometimes with Ja, it's like, sometimes he might have just had a bad day, and the whole nature of the NBA is to overreact and make everything like this bigger drama than it is. Although it is important.
He got suspended for actions detrimental to the team.
The team did view it as a big enough issue to say, take a seat. So I'm
your best player.
Correct.
Face of the franchise.
But what I think he's never really taken to heart is just because, like, you're in your feels that day, like, that's not, like, you're the leader, man. And your entire mindset, the way you carry yourself, that affects everybody.
Sure, but I mean, how much is he going to change? How much is he going to change? But, I mean, one thing, like, Memphis loves Ja, and it does seem like Ja has never, there's always conversation of the Grizzlies have never acted like they wanted to leave Memphis. Ja's never acted like he's wanted to leave Memphis. He's suspended. He's told to sit down. He's posted on a social media before the game that he is suspended from participating in, Go Grizzlies sign. So, like, there's something about the connection with this guy in the city. And I don't know if the national media really wants to draw somewhere else because that's going to solve some problems. I think
it solves everything.
But anyway,
this is what I always come back to. It's like, it felt to me when he had the early success. So he makes whatever the most improved. I think he finished second team all NBA. So the 21-22 season, the season where the Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves in the first round and then lose to the Warriors in six. It was almost like his approval rating nationwide could not have been higher. But I almost think like Ja getting on social media and then seeing NBA Twitter and certain segments of the internet like calling him corny, that had like this weird impact on him that the next year he kind of came out with the tough guy routine. Remember that? Like, that was a decided turn. Right. And since that whole, is he trying to be tough guy? Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's just been these massive roller coaster of experiences.
No, for sure. And another reason why social media is bad, you should be happy you're locked out of Twitter.
Well, I do miss the news element.
I thought you would figure out a way. You got to go to the websites directly, I guess, Jeffrey.
It's pretty difficult.
Does your phone not like put the Apple News thing together for you?
Yeah, but like I've noticed a lot of that is just like games. It gives me updates on games that I'm already watching.
Oh well, like,
check in on the Bills and Chiefs. Oh, you know what? Didn't even think of that. Now that you mention it, I'll go tune in now.
I can only imagine.
All right, does anybody else have any other overreactions?
No, I mean, I can't wait tonight, as far as Ja goes, let's see what he has to say. Because if anything, you can't, like the Grizzlies are, we knew going into the season, and I think we know this, like they're not winning the NBA championship. So what else do I want to ask for my team? I want it to be interesting. And this is interesting. So we've got a big star. And
it is certainly not boring.
It's not boring.
That is indeed the case. Again, Grizzlies tonight.
It can be boring. We've seen boring
at
FedEx Forum before.
It's DeLon Wright triple double watch.
People don't come to watch the games when it's boring.
Correct. I mean,
we don't talk about it on the radio when it's boring. But anyway,
no, I'm with you. And hopefully tonight is like all
right. Not boring.
Hopefully tonight, like it's not even like a
put
thing
it on
where
a growl
like,
towel.
Oh, they have to win, and it has to be like it's like no, just show that Friday night was a bad night. Like, it was a bad night.
Oh, we could.
Moving on.
I mean, the potential of what this could turn into, right, storyline-wise, I mean, Ja, like, can he turn? Not only what is he going to say tonight, but what do we see on the court from him and the Grizzlies in general?
Yes.
It's going to be very fascinating to break down. Is it on Amazon Prime? I want to get Blake's thoughts on it.
Okay. No, tonight, I think Prime is
Fridays only.
Tuesday and Friday? No, I think
it's something like that. It also could have been prime because it was a cup game, correct?
Ah,
Don't they carry all the cup games?
But I do think they have the Friday night package. Let's see.
It very well could have just been a coincidence. I was going to say.
But you are right. They are the Halloween, like
they're the cup.
Correct.
Cup people. Yeah.
The cup people.
Well, it'll be interesting tonight to see how it goes. I think a source of the frustration as well was just how the defense plays him just straight up now because they know he's going to try and get downhill one-on-one. I don't think the Pistons and Cade Cunningham are really going to not do that.
Yeah. It appears they're just Friday night games.
Really?
Friday night games. But to your point, though,
they are the
holders of the cup. So like the cup.
So if there's a cup game on another night, it's still going to be on Prime.
Well, no. Once they get into like the quarterfinals and like at a group stage.
Sure.
So it's Friday night. They're basically taking over ESPN's Friday night games. So ESPN now I think is Wednesdays.
Yeah, they were Wednesdays before.
Wednesdays and then Fridays. So I think they've regained the Friday aspect, and then they're going to have like the knockout stage of the cup.
Hey, yeah. But for the record, Josh's suspension was more than just one game because it took away a once in a lifetime experience from him because the team got to go to the World Series.
Yeah.
Because the scheduling of the Grizzlies' one trip to Canada this year happened to be the day after a game 7 of the World Series, and he missed out. The whole team goes to the World Series. Ja not only misses a game, but misses out on this great bonding experience of game 7, World Series, once in a lifetime, one of the greatest World Series ever. We'll talk about it later.
We will take a quick break when we come back. Let's get into Kevin's. Kevin's always our resident bracketologist.
I started early today.
So we'll take a look at the college football playoff standings, also a couple of other aspects of television with our TV timeout. We'll do all that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Oh. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, boys. Well, we didn't really have a massive shakeup in terms of the SEC over the weekend, I mean, we had a little bit of, we learned that probably Tennessee is not going to be a playoff team this year. Oklahoma stays alive. Texas stays alive. I think technically you could say Vanderbilt stays alive.
Good.
But you
they're
are
at two now, correct?
Correct. They now have, they picked up their second loss, but that is,
they're still kicking.
Both of their losses are to ranked teams on the road.
Yep.
So, again, they're not alive, or they're not dead, but you're now getting into that situation where, okay, we're going to have to basically win out, and even then, like, we need the right teams to be at 10-2.
Yep.
But we did have some chaos in the ACC, because there are a couple of things that really stand out. Number one, why football coaches, when an offense is scrambling to get organized on fourth down with the clock running, why coaches make the decision to give a free timeout to set up the defense is beyond me. Like, it's just, yet again, we had Mario doing that. I honestly had less of an issue with the kneeling it out and going to overtime. The one that bothered me was kind of how it ended. But also in the ACC, we had NC State absolutely walloping Georgia Tech. We now have a situation where NC State could have wins against Virginia and Georgia Tech, the teams that are could very well play for the ACC title. NC State could have beaten them both, but only one of them counted for the ACC standings. So we have chaos there. But also now you run into this situation where, okay, what happens if Miami, who took their second loss, they're now likely out of the ACC title game. What if they finish at 10-2 and Notre Dame's at 10-2?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have – the way it is going to play out towards the end is going to be interesting. Last year obviously gave us like a little taste of how do you decide –
Well, and does last year even apply? Because last year we didn't have whatever the metric that the SEC is demanded for.
Well, here's the SEC scenario that I was looking at. You know, I'm looking close to the bracketology, and we'll get to Memphis' spot and all this here in just a moment, but – like, it's possible that 9 SEC teams could finish with a 9-3 or better record. And it's like, it's possible. I don't think it's going to happen, because it's going to mean Texas A&M is going to lose again. And which is possible. They could lose. I mean, if Missouri beats Texas A&M, if Alabama beats Oklahoma, Texas beats Georgia, Oklahoma beats Missouri, and Tennessee beats Vanderbilt, those are all realistic outcomes. Like, we would have a ton of teams in the SEC battling for that fifth spot, because it seems like the SEC are going to get possibly should deservingly 5 teams in, but you're going to have 4 or 5 of them with a 9-3-ish record.
Well, and last year there were 4 9-3 teams, right?
How do you pick which one of the right.
Like, so there were 4 9-3 teams, right, last year, and they picked none.
Right.
But now what you also get into is, okay, we've got BYU going to Texas Tech this week. What happens if Texas Tech wins a thriller in Lubbock, and then they meet in Dallas or Jerry's World for the Big 12 title game, and then BYU wins? Like, do they get 2 in? Do they only get BYU in? Like, how is the ACC, like, are they going to have a situation where multiple teams can be in?
Yeah, let's go to the bracket. I've been studying the bracketology, and it's what's interesting is the big shakeups have happened away from Memphis in where the bracket goes. For weeks, it seems like we've got Memphis pitting up against a Georgia team. Now, Georgia Tech, kind of almost out of this thing. They're still in many brackets, projected to make the college football playoffs even after the disappointing result this past weekend. Of course, Memphis on Halloween night, they did not quit quietly.
They handled business.
They did. They won 38-14 against Rice. Memphis continues got to win out to get this playoff spot. I mean, it's very important and easy to understand for those who might be tuning in and it still hasn't sunk into you. But Memphis, if the season ended today, is in the college football playoffs. Most brackets still going with that 5-12 matchup with Georgia, which would mean Memphis travels to Athens and then would play in the next round. If they were able to beat and upset Georgia, would go up against the University of Alabama in, I believe, the Cotton Bowl. That's the most frequent projection. But of course, we cannot forget about our friends down there in Oxford as well. Ole Miss continues to be in the hunt as well for a college football playoff spot. Interesting matchup with them on some of this bracketology. I was looking at Andy Staples over there on On3 Sports. Looking at a 6-11 matchup against Louisville. Louisville sneaking in there now because of Georgia Tech's situation of, like, Georgia Tech seemed like a lock almost. Like, wow, they are, like, Georgia Tech and Vandy both, right? It was, like, too good to be true for both of those teams. And Louisville now sneaking in and right now matched up.
I feel like the things that we're going to have to really, like, what we're going to need, like, the open book notes for the open book test, ACC tiebreakers are going to be insane. Because, like, right now...
Yeah, for sure, to figure out who gets that.
Because Louisville's loss, I'm doing this from memory, right, is to UVA, correct, in overtime?
Correct.
And then Louisville, though, has given Miami a tie-breaking loss. And let's see, who else was still... Oh, Pitt. They got a win against Pitt because Pitt has technically not removed itself from the conversation.
No, Pitt is 5-1, playing a lot better since changing... quarterback there. They're not, of course. Georgia Tech is still very much in this.
They are. No, they're still projected. CBS Sports still has them projected into the college football playoff. This is really the first time all season we've seen Louisville in the mix. Of course, Virginia now positioning themselves as well in a great spot on many of these brackets after what's been unfolding. There's the question around Notre Dame. Miami's name is gone from all the bracketology at the moment. They are on the outside looking in. They, of course, could turn that around, as you mentioned, Jeffrey, having to figure out their way in. Like many first four out teams, you have Miami, Texas hanging in right out, Oklahoma. Notre Dame is one that we thought was for sure in if they won out, but, of course, they haven't won out yet, number one. But... I think it's just going to be a matter of some more of these teams taking some more losses that are currently in. But we have like an 8-9 matchup with Texas Tech versus BYU, Oregon and Virginia with a 7-10. Like I mentioned, Ole Miss, Louisville. That would be ideal for Ole Miss, honestly, if they end up getting like a 6-11 with Louisville and they play Texas A&M in the next round, according to this bracket projection.
Yeah, ESPN right now has them in the 6-11 game. So... ESPN's current bracket has the Tigers going to Georgia, which I think
everybody
we talked about. That seems to be the most, right now, that's like the most frequent combination.
Yep. I feel like something, and that's really what I'm looking at here over the next couple weeks as we watch the Tiger games. Obviously, the Tigers are locked in at 12, right? They're not going to get any better than 12, especially after the UAB loss. So like, they're the not getting better. Thing, so they're going to play it. They're going to play the five. And
here's where I think it could get a little interesting.
So Ole Miss could still happen.
So there's still a chance that Duke can play for the ACC.
You've been doing some math over there?
So Duke right now is currently at 4-1 in league play. Okay. And Duke's conference loss is to Georgia Tech, but they can still play their way into the ACC title game. They would have three losses. And one of their three losses would be Tulane, which would be a common opponent for the Tigers. So in the scenario that we would be laying out, Memphis would have a home win against Tulane, whereas Duke would have a loss to Tulane.
Yeah.
Could that factor in? Perhaps. Like, I still think it's more likely than not the G5 champ is going to be...
Number 12 every year, almost.
Going to be number 12,
unique.
But
if it was South Florida this year, undefeated South Florida this year, I think they could have got better than a 12.
I do think there is
Miami and Florida won the conference. They could have, but
I think there's enough ACC weirdness that I think 12-1 Memphis would have a shot to be in front of if like the ACC champion had three losses. I think there's a chance,
which is interesting. Like like some of these brackets with a Louisville and Memphis right there at 11-12 is a sight to behold, but. So if we're looking, if we feel like Memphis is probably locked in the 12, I mean, we agree with it. Some, it would have to take some chaos, a next level chaos to move Memphis up. I think especially after what, how we've seen year one of the 12-team playoff. But the number five spot is Georgia. Now, what are your chances, Jeffrey, of Indiana losing and then moving up these SEC teams, and that will really shake up the five spot? Is that what, like, we have to see A&M lose or Georgia lose again or Indiana lose again or Alabama to lose again to really change that five position? It's very interesting. We've been so many weeks now with Georgia in that five slot. I guess Alabama could fall there. A&M could fall there.
Indiana,
could they fall to the five and it's Memphis, Indiana?
I find that unlikely because right now Indiana's remaining schedule is at Penn State.
That's this weekend, yeah.
Correct. Wisconsin at home, and then they go to Purdue. I don't think...
They shouldn't.
Even if they get beat by... Let's say like Ohio State beats them by 17, which I'm not sure they are, because Indiana's not the same Indiana team that played last year at Ohio State and got exposed when they played another roster.
But they would move down a position from 2 to 3 if A&M remains undefeated.
Yeah,
A&M would jump.
I think
them.
They would stick in the top four. I don't think they would fall. I don't think
if A&M wins the SEC.
I don't think they get punished to drop out of the top five
or to lose that game. I don't think they would either.
I was thinking about this weekend, and y'all tell me. It's half baked, so I'm not like sold on it. But I was at least considering the possibility.
All right.
The worst team in the SEC right now is Arkansas.
That was made official over the weekend, yes, with the win from Mississippi State.
And they have an offense that if you don't come to play, can beat you. Like,
they've had close losses.
Absolutely.
Just like both teams this past, yeah, Mississippi State and Arkansas.
The other team I think that you would have an argument for is Kentucky. But, like, Kentucky's defense, when healthy, is enough to give you problems.
They weren't the worst this past weekend, for sure.
Correct. Then we're talking about Auburn. And Auburn has a roster that had Oklahoma down to the last possession, Georgia down multiple scores at halftime. Like, I was thinking about it in these terms. Does the SEC hamper itself because everyone is so insane in trying to win that there aren't games where you just get to flex? Like, I think most SEC teams would either beat Maryland or, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, Maryland, Kentucky can be a Styles mix fight. But, like, they don't have the opportunity where you just go and you just flex on somebody. Because that's kind of the one thing that you see in the Big Ten, which is, okay, we have two teams that are really good. And then we have this next tier of Oregon to a lesser degree, like, USC, Michigan, I guess Illinois.
Those teams are stout. They're good teams.
But I mean, think about also, like, Alabama and Georgia are getting, I don't want to say the benefit of the doubt, but they're being judged on the fact that they are in the SEC. So with their one losses,
they're
still rounding out the top five.
I guess this is my larger question. My eyes tell me, like, Ohio State is a different team than any of the SEC teams I've seen. With that said, how much of it, correct?
Their opponents are not as, like, again, matchup week in, week out.
It was a week one game, and I also think once Ohio State had gotten up two scores, they said very calmly, like, we have a freshman quarterback, let's not screw this up. But the closest game that Ohio State has played this year has been Texas at home, on paper.
Where does Texas rank? Right outside the play. Texas could sneak into the playoffs. We've talked about. Yeah.
One thing we learned this weekend.
What did we learn?
Maybe the point guard of the Grizzlies could learn a thing or two about when everybody talks about you.
Arch?
Uh-huh. Because
Texas is.
I can't get this out of my mind. Everyone in that room. Listen, Arch did not play great. I'm not defending him on this.
They won, though.
But no, he played great on Saturday.
Yeah.
Everyone in that room knew Texas's offense had more problems than just their quarterback. And who sat there and ate all of the crap?
We're going back to the Ohio State game.
What I'm saying with Texas is, what if this is a team that has been talented and they took some growing pains with their young quarterback And now their young quarterback's starting to play well. And then on top of that,
in the SEC,
the rest of his team sat there and watched him when they weren't playing well take all of it.
It's hard. It's a hard position. That's why, like, if they are able to make the playoffs, like, they have the past month of Texas.
Well, and I also used the example last year. Will Howard was god-awful in the Michigan game. Now, I think it's possible he was concussed, but he was god-awful. And notice none of his teammates threw him under the bus, whatnot. Like, he wore it, and they rallied around him. Like, I do wonder if this is a Texas thing where, all right, your quarterback's starting to play better, your defense has always been good, and now you have an opportunity. You've got at Georgia and at A&M at home. I still don't think they're running the table, but it's like, if they do run the table, that team is a playoff team.
Tomorrow we get the rankings, right? We
yes.
finally get the official rankings. So this is all bracketology. So talking about it, sometimes I get like so invested in it and get this factual brackets of some sort. But most of the bracketologists are giving the weight and the credit to the SEC right at like down the line. Like the 3 1-loss teams that are the highest ranked are all SEC teams. And we're doing Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss right there, 4, 5, 6 on most everybody's bracket. Now, will that be how it actually shakes
right.
up from the actual playoff committee and when it comes down? We don't know. But if it does, then, I mean, they're giving credit to the SEC. And I think that is a nice spot to be in where you can have the one loss and be getting your home field and not worried about falling down like some of these other teams.
I was also thinking about this. We have, with the Tigers, so...
We're the Tigers.
Okay, I was thinking about this. Our general position is they can't afford another loss. Okay.
Correct.
But if they beat Tulane...
Correct.
And they beat Navy. So let's say they have to go... They go to Greenville and they get Greenville. It would not be the first time, and I'm not.
So if they get another bad loss, it does not have conference implications as far as top of the conference.
So I guess where you would leave yourself exposed there is that USF only has one league loss, and USF's remainder is they get UTSA at home, at Navy, at UAB, Rice.
Oh, you don't want to go to UAB.
The reason why I was bringing all of it up, like, do they actually have a loss to spend? Because I don't know. Listen
up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well,
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.